بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وخاتم النبيين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا المصطفى أبو القاسم محمد، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. We shall start our session tonight with a recitation of the Holy Quran. We shall be reading a few verses from chapter number 76, surah number 76, which is Surah Al-Insan, or also known as Ad-Dahr. We'll be reading from verses number 1 up to verse number 4. We shall be reading from verses. We shall start our session tonight with the recitation of the Holy Quran. We shall be reading from verses number 1 up to verse number 6 of Surah number 76, or chapter number 76, which is Surah Al-Insan or Ad-Dahr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا؟ إنا خلقنا الإنسان من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا. إنا هديناه السبيل إما شاكرا وإما كفورا. إنا هديناه السبيل إما شاكرا كفورا. إنا أعتدنا للكافرين سلاسل وأغلالا وسعيرا. إن الأبرار يشربون من كأس كان مزاجها كافورا. عينا يشرب بها عباد الله يفجرونها تفجيرا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صل على محمد وآل محمد. Among the beliefs we've been talking about for the past few weeks are the fundamentals and the roots of the Islamic religion. This starts with one, at-tawheed, monotheism, which we discussed briefly, believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wajib al-wujud. He is the essence. He is the start of everything. He is the beginner. He is the ender, who has no beginning, nor does he have an end. Nor does he have any partners or associates of any source. This is a very basic and fundamental explanation of monotheism, tawheed. Then we touched upon nubuwa, prophethood, where we believe that God Almighty, out of His mercy, has sent all prophets, messengers, and divine successors to the prophets, awsiya, to guide humans and humanity, to guide people to the straight path, and to show them the truth. That we discussed. Then we touched upon the third essence, which is qiyamah, and that is the belief in the day of judgment, where people shall be resurrected and either rewarded for what their deeds or punished for what they have done. These three things are shared in the belief among all Muslims. Now, two additional fundamentals or roots that exist are also adala, justice, and imama, which is divine successorship to prophets, imama. Today we shall be discussing the topic of justice, divine justice. When Musa alayhi salam, Moses peace be upon him, went to the Pharaoh of Egypt along with his brother Aaron, Harun and Musa together went to the prophet, to the Pharaoh, by the command of God Almighty. He told them, go to the Pharaoh, introduce this path of guidance to him, and tell him about the belief in one God. Musa alayhi salam and Harun went to the Pharaoh. They met with him. They spoke to him. They showed him some signs. But then the Pharaoh asked a very interesting question. He said, قَالَ مَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى. He said, Musa, who is this Lord of yours? You're talking to me about this God, and you're saying to me that he is this and that. Explain to me exactly, who is your Lord? قَالَ مَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى. قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. He said, our Lord is the one who created everything and then guided it. So Musa alayhi salam has described one of the justice of the Lord, is the creation of everything, and upon the creation God gives this guidance. The first guidance is al-fitrah, the instinct. That's the first guidance that the human being gets, the instinct. Whenever the human being is born into this world, for example, he or she is given this intrinsic ability to suck, to get the milk out, whether it's from the bottle or from the mother. This is an intrinsic ability that God has given humans. Not only humans, even animals have this ability as well. The minute they're born, they're intrinsically capable of figuring out their needs for that moment. And in some cases in the animal world, You find the mother, for example, leaving the child, the newborn, aside, and he or she will have to live on their own. They have to survive on their own. This is the fitra, the intrinsic ability that God has put into each and every creation. This only is not only limited to the animals, actually it's to each and everything that God has created. The sun, it goes in its direction, never goes out of its orbit. So does the earth, for example, and the other planets and the galaxies. So this guidance, this sort of fitra or huda that Allah has given is the intrinsic ability to each and every creation of His. This is out of His justice, out of His divine justice. Because justice is to give each and every individual his or her full rights, or even its full rights. When you go beyond giving them their full rights, then you have done beyond justice, and that is known as ihsan, kindness. If you've given them less than their right, then you have done oppression, dhulm. And of course, God Almighty does not oppress anything, never mind the humans. So the first thing that God gives the human being, or everything that He creates, is this guidance, which is the intrinsic ability to survive, the intrinsic ability to go about doing its duties, or his or her duties. That is al-hidayatul fitriyyah. The second type of guidance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives to the human being is the aql, the mind. And this is what distinguishes the humans from the non-humans. The animals, the plants, the planets, is that the humans, Allah has given them the mind. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ Allah says, we have honored the human being, the children of Adam. In what way? What's the difference? Because Allah has given them this mind. The human being has this ability or has this capability of improving his or her life. Moving on, moving forward. Bees, for example, they collect honey. They've been collecting honey for thousands of years. They never got together and said, you know what, let's invent machines or become innovative and have technology such that we can produce more honey. They've been doing this for the past thousands of years. They'll be doing it for the next thousands or millions of years. No change. The human, however, will change. He gets together, for example, he thinks, says, what's the good way of transportation? Initially it was his foot, then he managed to take animals, then he started creating or inventing machines that will allow him to transport from one place to another much faster. That is all the abilities of the mind, the aql. So that is another ability and another point of guidance that Allah has given the human, again out of His justice. Because according to this, Allah will judge people, according to their aql and their mind. That's why everybody will be judged according to their abilities of comprehension and their how much can their brain understand and comprehend. The only thing is that enough? Is the brain and the mind good enough to take the person to the perfection? Some people may argue yes. However, because the human being's mind ability is limited, it cannot always take him to whatever is perfect and best for him. That's where the expression trial and error came from. So the human being may try something, which in his or her own opinion, this is the good thing, it's perfect. However, upon testing it, it becomes a failure. It does not work. So then he or she has to go back and redesign and reinvent until he or she gets to a system that works well. And even then it may not work perfectly well. Even the cars we drive today, for example, even though there's so many thoughts, so much thought and invention and engineering has been put into these cars, yet they're not 100% efficient yet. They still have defects. And the human is still trying to improve and improve and improve. So this is called al-aql. Yet there is another thing then that will perfect the human being. And that is the third type of guidance that Allah has bestowed upon humanity out of His justice, and that is a deen, religion. Religion can really show people the right from the wrong. Religion, when used properly, can put limits and boundaries, because the mind alone, yes, it can think that stealing is bad, but what would stop it from stealing? It knows lying is bad, but what will stop it from lying? And any of those bad habits, if we may call them that, then they will influence and affect the mind in a negative way. The aql will be affected in a negative way. So to perfect this mind in such a way that it's always operational at a perfect level, Allah has put this deen, religion. Because the religion will teach a person how to be a perfect human being when he or she understands the religion well. It will draw boundaries. It will draw limits. Hence, Musa alayhi salam, when he went to the Pharaoh, he told him that our Lord is the one who created everything and then guided it, gave it its guidance. And Allah says, and whomever neglects our dhikr, فَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ, he will have a very unhappy life. His life or her life will not be a very pleasant life. And you find it true. You have those, for example, people who have achieved the highest degrees, who have achieved big accomplishments in their lives, whether it is at the academic level, whether it is at the entertainment level, sports level, yet when they are not in association with their religion, they're always feeling a vacuum. They're always feeling that something is missing. And they try to fill this vacuum with whatever means they have. Some of them unfortunately resort to bad means, such as alcohol and drugs. Others try to fill their time by trying to help other people, doing all these charity events, doing all these adoptions, helping the poor, such that they could fill the time that they have at their disposal. Going back, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a fundamental belief, as Muslims, we believe that God Almighty is absolute justice, divine justice, that there is absolutely no oppression in His kingdom. And He has given guidance to the creation of His at three levels. One is al-fitra, which is the intrinsic ability of each and every creation. Two, that goes to the humans. He's given them an additional form of guidance, which is the mind, of which He has honored them beyond His other creations. And three, this human being, God has also given to him a religion which can make him move forward and progress even more and more. And that's how he distinguishes between the humans, who does a better job versus one who does not do as good of a job. A question that may arise, given God's justice, is that if God is just, why is it that some people are born in Africa so poor? They don't even have anything to eat. They don't have anywhere to sleep. And there are those who were born, let's say, in Europe, North America, other parts of the world, who are so rich that they don't even know what to do with their money. Why are some people born in war zones, where others are born in places which are secured and peace? Why are those children, for example, dying in some parts of the world, and there are those who are really having a fun life, enjoying their time? Is that just? Some people ask, where is the justice in this? A man or a lady came to Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. She came to him. She said, Dawood, David, O Prophet of God, do you claim that your Lord is just? He said, of course he's just. She said, where is the justice when I'm a poor lady, I'm a widow, and I have children to take care of. Every day what I do for a living is I do some knitting. I try to knit something. And then I take this and sell it in the market. Whatever money I make, I buy some food to bring back to my children. Today, on my way to sell whatever I knitted yesterday, a big bird came, grabbed my product, and ran away with it. So now I'm left with nothing. Where is the justice in this, Ya Dawood? As she was talking to him, a group of men, 10 of them, came and walked into Prophet Dawood's place. Each one of them took a bag filled with 100 dinar or $100 money, and they gave it to Prophet Dawood. They told him, Ya Rasulullah, give this money to whomever deserves it. If there is a needy, give it to him. He said, what's the matter? Where did you guys come from? Who are you guys? They said, we're businessmen, the 10 of us. He said, we were on a business trip. We were just heading back. And then there was this huge wave that came by. It broke some parts of our ship. And the ship started drowning. He said, we started praying to God to help us. At that moment, we saw a big bird coming with a piece of knitted clothing. And the bird threw it at us. We took this piece, we opened it up, ripped it apart. We managed to use the threads to tie up some of the logs that were broken by the wave, such that we managed to all get onto this log, these logs, and made it to the shore with our money. So we vowed, we made another, that since we made it safely, we're going to give a charity, each one of us, of 100 dinar, of $100. So Dawood then took the money, 10 of them, 1,000, and gave it to the lady, and he said, lady, the Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom you claim was not just, saved lives with your piece of clothing, and he did business for you, not on the land, but in the seas. And look at the profits of your sales. Thousands of times more than what you would have gained on the land. So sometimes certain things on the outside may appear that it is not justice. It's not fair. It may be oppression. But when we think about it, God has His wisdom. The other thing, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says that no poor person is suffering from poverty except because there is a rich person who has not paid his dues. There is a rich person depriving the poor. God wants to test the people. He creates people. Some of them may be poor, yes. Others will be rich. It is said that on the day of judgment, the poor will be gathered before God Almighty, and Allah will tell them, O my servants, you are poor in this world, in the world. And for this, I'm going to reward you now for your poverty. And God will give them so much that they will thank God for keeping them in poverty during the world. God is just, is fair. Maybe in this world they're poor. And if the rich pays, not deprives the poor, there will not be a single poor person in the world. This was established. This is not a theory. During the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, there was not a single poor person in Medina or Mecca when he finally established a society and returned back to Mecca. Not a single poor person. When Imam Ali alayhi salam became the Khalifa of the Muslims, not a single poor person was in Kufa. And that famous story when he saw a beggar who was not even a Muslim begging on the streets, he told his companions and he told the treasurer to go build him a house, shelter him and provide him a salary, even though he was not a Muslim. Yet because he lived in the Muslim land, he deserved all the rights that Muslims deserve and have. So in a true Islamic society, or even in a true, fair and just society, there would not be a single poor person. They will all get their shares. The reason we're seeing poverty today is because the rich is depriving the poor, for whatever reasons. The reason we're seeing wars in today's society is because some who are powerful are waging against those who are powerless. If the human being were to come back to his or her senses, then we would have a just society. But God does not force. God teaches, God guides, and the human chooses. The verses were cited at the beginning, God said, from Surah Al-Insan or Al-Dahr, إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. We have shown him the path. He, referring to the human being, is either grateful, shakiran, or kafura, ungrateful. He does not accept God's bounties and blessings. So it is the human being, my dear brothers and sisters, who creates calamities. It is the human being who creates disasters. It is the human being who, when he oppresses and does not provide God's justice, creates poverty. So in order for this world to function peacefully, we need to eradicate this poverty. And that can only be achieved by calculation of exactly how can we give such that we can suffice all those who are poor and sustain them in such a way that they can rise on their feet. This is the way to achieve justice. In fact, the Peace Prize this year, or the previous year, the Nobel Peace Prize was given to a person who was a Muslim, by the way, Muhammad Yunus. He was the one who achieved that prize. Of course, the word Muslim never showed up in the news. Nowhere did it ever show up. His name showed up in many places, all newspapers and news stations and news agencies and broadcasts, Muhammad Yunus, but never the word Muslim was ever mentioned. And because he established a bank to help the poor, and he managed to elevate those who are very poor in Singapore to states where they are not poor anymore, or they have leveled themselves such that they could sustain themselves. Anyways, so a system has been established, and this is not a theoretical system, it's a practical system, it's been done. That's why he won the Nobel Prize for it, because it's won, it works. So this is how we have justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just, there is divine justice, it's among the fundamental and essence belief of our religion. With this, my dear brothers and sisters, we conclude the fourth root of the religion after Tawheed, Prophethood, Nubuwwah, Qiyamah or Ma'ad or Day of Judgment, and today Adala or Justice. Next week, inshallah, we shall discuss about the final, the fifth and last one, which is Imamah, which is divine successorship to Prophethood. And inshallah, with that, we will conclude our session. May Allah bless us, guide us, and treat us always with His kindness, His ihsan, and establish His justice on this earth. May God hasten the reappearance of Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, along with Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu al-sharif, who will be working together hand in hand to spread this world and fill it with justice and peace, the way it's being filled with oppression and tyranny. May God bless us all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.